All right. We'd like to welcome you to the Highland Planning Commission meeting for December 10th. Thank you for coming. We don't always have people, so it's fun to see somebody out here. All right. We're going to go ahead and start with an invocation, and Claude's going to do that. And with Chris's absence, would you like to do the Pledge of Allegiance for us? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful to be gathered here in these favorable circumstances. We're grateful for this season of the year and for the happiness it brings. We ask that thou bless us this evening during our deliberations and the people giving testimony, that they may be inspired, that we may know what we're doing, that we may make wise decisions, and that will last in the future. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we want to do our unscheduled appearances first? Okay. So if there is anyone who would like to make a comment for the commission that does not have to do with the agenda today, and let us be made known of any issues, please feel free to come up to the mic and state your name and address. And if you could limit the time to about 3 minutes, that would be great. It's now open. Okay. We're going to now close it. Thank you. All right, we're going to go to our first consent items. We're going to talk about the minutes from our last, it wasn't for November, but it would have been for October. And I'm going to turn that over to the commissioners. Would anyone?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the October meeting.
I'll second that.
Great. Can we vote on that, please?
Yes.
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 Okay, thank you. Okay. The consent items today, we've done the approval of the minutes. We've got our action items of the public hearing for the Vista Ridge subdivision preliminary plat. We'd like to have our city talk to us about it first so that we are all on the same page. A lot of times the questions that you guys might have asked or comments are resolved when we have the presentation, and then we'll open our public hearing.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. Thank you for coming out this evening. This is the very southwest corner of Highland. It was recently annexed into the city. You see it, the last little corner there. It was annexed and zoned R120, so the city's 20,000 lot residential standard. There was an annexation agreement as well that got recorded that was part of the materials that were in the packet. Even though this is a two-lot subdivision, because they are constructing a new road and extending utilities, it requires a preliminary plat process. We have to do it as a major subdivision rather than just doing it as a staff and a combined final preliminary plat. So the preliminary plat, you can see it proposed here. Nothing too remarkable about it. To be frank, they're dedicating additional road on 9600 North. That road is, 96 is going to be a two-lane minor collector, so it's a 66-foot right-of-way. The city owns that kind of long, skinny parcel to the east. It was dedicated to the city in connection with an annexation for property to the south, and it was reserved for a road. So this is what it's for. They're building a half road on that per the annexation agreement. It's all of the sidewalk, park strip, curb, gutter on one side, and then 20 feet of asphalt. The lots meet the R120 standards. Each are at least 20,000 square feet. They have at least 115 feet of frontage on a public road. We had some, in the materials I first sent you, we had a couple issues with some setbacks and some dedications. They already submitted a revised plat that corrected those, so a couple of stipulations have already been handled since then. They just came after the packet had to go out, so I apologize for it not being quite as clean. There's no sensitive lands issue. The only real concern that has been raised with this is our fire marshal has been concerned about how we're going to handle fire access, especially a turnaround for a fire truck. I've talked with the applicants who are here, and they're understanding that we'll have to come up with a solution, whether that's a temporary cul-de-sac or a hammerhead where there's a kind of a way to back up to turn a fire truck around. There's a few options allowed in fire code to provide a turnaround. They're willing to work with the fire marshal to determine what works best for the subdivision, and we'll handle that at final plat. We're not quite sure what works best at the moment, but it will be handled. That's the major stipulation staff has. The annexation agreement does list a lot of improvements they had to provide, utility extensions, dedications, road improvements, all of that. Most of those are being covered by what's been proposed. There's a few impact fees that need to be remaining for the home, but we have deferred those until final plat when they actually connect. They'll have to pay impact fees for the new home per with the building permit, and they'll have to dedicate water for our pressurized irrigation system as normal. We sent out notices to affected entities and adjacent property owners before Thanksgiving, and published a notice of this hearing. I actually had a conversation with a representative for the property owner on the other side of the city parcel, Ms. Walton, just concerned about how her access is going to be. She kind of has a dirt driveway that there's kind of a private driveway in there. Maybe I'll actually just pull up the parcel map so you can see. So this is the city parcel. You can see there's kind of just a 10-foot wide private. It's not a real road. So this is going to be removed and then rebuilt as an actual road. There's just questions about how she's going to continue her access. We've actually had comments to the developer about we're going to have to make sure that the road will work with that driveway. Obviously, there'll be disruptions to her property, as happens with any construction, but ultimately, we think it actually will end up in a better place with an actual road serving her property rather than this driveway. We will work with developer and the contract to make sure we have access that's not fully restricted.
Rob, since you have this pulled up, could you show where this property is?
Yes, so this is this property. Okay, this home is currently proposed to remain, and they'll just kind of cut it off the parcel and have this back lot as the second lot. This is the city parcel where the half road will go. It continues south into the miner's property down here. And then Ms. Walton's property that I was just talking about, that's her home there. So this is 9600 North. So it'll be widened a bit up on the north side here, and then the road will come down all the way to the end of the city parcel there.
Is anything being done to the property owner? I'm sorry, I forgot the name real quick. The one that's highlighted right now, as far as the main road in the front of the lot, is she also doing curb, gutter, anything like that?
No, because they're not proposing to do any kind of development. There's no requirements for her to do anything. If that property were to subdivide, it's also R120, and they could get two lots, we would require similar improvements. They'd have to expand 96, then do all of that.
And this is considered, just for technical terms, not a flag lot because?
Because it will be an actual public road going back there. So a flag lot is when you have a private driveway that extends. Essentially, kind of currently, this is almost a flag lot in the back down there. It's kind of a pre-existing parcels of record from the county. This will actually make it into a actual
fix that problem.
That problem. We'll have a real half road going all the way down to serve them. The miners, when they annexed this property right here, they gave the city this parcel, and the agreement was that when the miners developed their property, they owned both of these parcels down on the south. They would actually build the full road. They just have never developed. So when this property, the Smith property, annexed in, they're required to put in at least a half road to serve their development. So with that, this is an administrative decision, meaning as long as it meets the requirements of city code and the annexation agreement, we have to grant approval as long as they can check off essentially the boxes. Looking at it, we had five stipulations. The first one is that fire access turnaround will be provided to the approval of or satisfaction of the fire marshal. Two and three were just some minor clarifications on the plat that honestly have already been approved, but they're not what was presented to the commission. The fourth is that the remaining impact fees for the home will be paid when they get final plat approval. And the fifth is that I included the civil plans Those aren't not fully approved yet, so it's just a reminder that they'll still have to work with us, make sure we get those final details resolved before final plat. We're not approving the construction plans at this point in time. That makes sense. So it's the fifth stipulation is just that final plat and subdivision improvement plans will conform to our requirements and to the annexation agreement as we move forward. And we would recommend approval as staff. But I'm happy to answer any questions, and this also requires a public hearing. We have the applicant here as well, in case they'd like to. I'd invite you to have them come up and address the commission.
Thank you, Rob. Okay, we would like to open it up to our public hearing. Anyone that would like to make comment or enlighten us on any concerns you may have or anything like that, please go ahead, state your name, address, and you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
So my name is Phil Favreau, and I'm an attorney representing the interests of Evelyn Worrellton at 6995 West, 9600 North. I want to thank Mr. Patterson for his outstanding and constructive comments to me today and the cordial and helpful way in which he's worked with me, and we're going to continue to have discussions. I think, as you can imagine, somebody who's owned a property for over 40 years in a particular location and who's been a widow in that property for most of that time and who's approaching her 80th birthday has concerns when there's going to be significant upheaval. Her friend of 40 plus years is relocating and has just sold the property to be turned into the Vista Ridge development. And there are going to be disruptions. She understands that. She's prepared for that. But I think, like Mr. Patterson and I spoke about, I think as long as appropriate accommodations are made for her to get in and out of that property, that lane is her only access. And it's on existing city property. The asphalt, I don't know if Mark Miner maintains it. I don't know if the city helps maintain it, but it is in good condition. I understand it's going to be removed. There's going to be a half street in there, and I happen to think that it'll ultimately benefit her with garbage truck access, with potentially improved postal service access closer to her home. But we would like some sort of accommodation made, as I've spoken with Mr. Patterson, so that she has appropriate ingress and egress during the time frame when construction's going on, when that road is removed, that narrow lane, and so that she can get in and out of her property so guests can visit her, so she can get her garbage cans out to 9600 North. And hopefully the work will be done on weekdays during business hours and not on weekends or during evenings. So those are some of the comments I wanted to offer. And again, thank Mr. Patterson for our constructive discussions and look forward to continuing those. Any questions for me? Okay. Thank you very much, commissioners.
Thank you for your time. Is there someone that would like to address any of those issues that's participating in that? You're welcome to share as well. Anyway, just state your name and address. Thank you.
Elizabeth Rice, and it's 6241 West, 9680 North Highland. So I apologize for being late. I've run from meeting to meeting today, this afternoon, and was late. But I kind of need that address one more time, if you don't mind. And I apologize. It's my error for being late. But I just want to make sure that all of the residents were notified on that, because I'm pretty up on things, and I didn't hear about this. And it's not that I'm opposed to it. I just don't know how widely.
It's a 500-foot radius.
Mark, okay.
And I mailed out the letters myself.
So. Okay, all right. So if you wouldn't just mind giving me that, and I think that maybe we need some more public input on this. Just because I know a lot of the people in that area. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Shaylin Larson. Address is 1264 North, 1300 West in Lehigh. I'm the one doing the development on that. And to just address his concern for Ms. Worrellton, we are willing, if the city's okay with it, to do some gravel on the part that we're not developing, because we'll have the 20 feet of asphalt that will go, but there's still a city property there. We could gravel back to her driveway so that she can get in and out while they're doing that.
That's wonderful. We liked to offer a forum for people to fix these things because a lot of them, they need to be fixed by the parties more than the city, and it can be done so amiably.
Yeah, and we're happy to help her so she can get in and out of that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there any other questions? Well,
Lynn?
Yeah.
So you are the general contractor of record for this?
My mom is.
Well,
but I am working with her to do it. Yeah.
Okay. And I have to disclose that Shaylin's my niece.
Yes.
And
okay.
Her mom's my sister, so
okay.
I will recluse myself from this activity. I've just made aware
of it
right
item.
Now.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else for this? All right. We're going to go ahead and close this public hearing and open it up for commissioners. To ask any questions and have discussion.
Also wanted to raise just one point regarding notice. I actually got the letter to the miners for some reason got bounced back to the city. So I actually called him and just, okay. I've talked with him a couple of times. He's the property owner to the south. He's come in and I've reviewed the plans with him. And then I called him just letting him know that this was still scheduled. He understood what was going on. So
okay.
The one time I knew something came back, I gave him a call.
Perfect.
The only one was Mark Miners, who I talked to, and he's the only letter that came back. So,
okay. Thank you.
Rob, did you say you're going to be widening 9600 to?
Yes. So it's not going to be a full. So the plan is 9600 North is classified in the city's transportation plan as a minor three-lane collector. So you'll have, or maybe it's two-lane collector. Sorry, I forget off the top of my head. But it's a 66-foot right-of-way. They're not doing the full 66 feet. They're doing 33 feet. So they're dedicating a little bit of property. And actually, I'll go back to the. So if you see on here, up here on the north side, that's the property they're dedicating to make sure it hits that full, from the halfway point of the road, a full 33 feet out. So we'll have the full width on that side. And then on the other side, if they ever develop or do something or we come in to expand, we'll expand it out the other way.
Rob, on the city's parcel that they own there, how's snow removal handled? How has it been and how would it be in the future?
I honestly could not answer that because we have, to my knowledge, the city does not maintain any of that. Mm-hmm. We own it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just been kept as, I'm sure you could probably speak to it better. I think either the miners or the Worlds have some kind of arrangement where they clear it. Mm-hmm. It's essentially being kind of treated as a private lane, just happens to be on city property.
And so moving forward, you know, if this goes through and it's developed and this the city take more ownership of it now and it will be included in.
Yep, we'll add it to our snow route and we'll clear it like we do every other cul-de-sac in the city.
And then as far as like the garbage cans, I think I heard it mentioned that they're taken up to 9600 North right now. Would those then be able to be moved to directly in front of the house and the curb?
Yes, yeah. I anticipate they'll all go on the west side because we'll have that lot two that only fronts into this new street.
Right.
So we'll probably put them all there. Just so you're also aware, I already covered that, sorry.
I have a question also, and I'm the woman who's taking her garbage cans out to 9600, she's the elderly one, 80 or whatever you're saying. How is she going to get that over gravel while the road's being constructed? That's going to be a difficult, you know, the gravel's difficult to pull trash cans over at 80 years old.
I mean, currently, she has kind of it's concrete driveway until it kind of gets a little bit closer to it, then it becomes gravel before it hits that little bit of asphalt, so. Mm-hmm. She's currently pulling it there. I mean, and soon, I mean, ideally.
All the way to 9600, though. I'm just talking during construction.
When during construction.
Going up.
We'll have to figure that out. I mean, I'll say a lot of these details get worked out with Public Works and our city engineer. As the construction goes, we discuss and figure things out how to handle things in the meantime. I think the biggest excess, I think their offer of putting gravel down so there's at least a drivable surface while they're, you know, grading the other side and putting the road in. For garbage cans, we'll have to figure that out somehow. I don't have an answer for you at the moment.
Because like as an administrative issue, is that something that kind of needs to be worked out later on? Like technically, it all conforms to, checks all the boxes.
This plan conforms. Uh-huh. How we handle the details of the garbage can, we'll certainly want to work with everyone to figure it out. But that'll be more of just a staff and working with the developer and the property owner. And,
right. But it's not necessarily something that can hold this up being administrative.
Yeah. No.
Should we add that into the motion that she is accommodated for those things?
I would recommend not, again, because it's not a code requirement we have regarding that. So I couldn't give a legal basis for the property owner to say your application's being held up for this stipulation because I don't have a basis in our code to require it.
It sounds like they're willing to.
It sounds like they're willing to do it. They've been very accommodating working through this whole process. It's been a weird annexation already, and they've been kind of soldiering on through it already. So I think we can figure out a way of doing it. I'm not worried about that too much.
Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that answer?
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
You have to come up to the mic.
You need to come to the mic, yes, and state your name again. Thank you, for the record.
Again, it's Phil Favreau for Evelyn Worthington, and thank you for asking these questions. Just on the snow removal, Mark Miner has handled the removal with his tractor for decades, and so he's handled that on a private basis. I think I just need to confer with her and with her family to see how that's going to work. As I explained to Mr. Patterson, there's just a number of issues. You saw the property itself. She's maintained that property. She has not allowed it to become covered with weeds or be undeveloped. She has had a sprinkler system in there since the early to mid-1980s. She's done all the repairs. She's done the lawn mowing. That's all going to be impacted. That's a different issue, as Mr. Patterson and I spoke about, but she doesn't have a whole lot of money to handle that. There's the issue of trying to get the trash cans out. I know she has family members that try and help her. I think if it's not a bad winter, maybe she'll be able to get it out with the help of family members. But I appreciate the developers' representatives being willing to work with us and help us on that. And so anyway, thank you for asking. Any other questions?
No, thank you. Okay. Then I think we're done with discussion. We're going to go to the staff recommendations. Can we review the staff recommendations just really quick?
Sure.
So people can see the five recommendations. And we've discussed all of those. Do you feel like we're ready to go to the next one? Go ahead and go to the next screen. Thank you. The proposed motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the preliminary plat for the Vista Ridge subdivision, subject to the five stipulations recommended by staff. And I don't think we had any additional that would be appropriate.
No, I'll second that. Covered.
Okay, it's second. Can we vote?
Yes.
Yes.
I was staying.
Yes.
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 Thank you. That's passed. Thank you for your comment. Okay, the next thing we have is the planning and zone town center commercial setbacks. And we're going to turn the time over to Rob to talk to us about that. Thank you.
Thank you. This is another, actually a request. So an applicant has filed a development code amendment request, paid the fee, filed an application. So this is not a staff-driven request, though staff actually, as you'll see later, we do recommend, we are in favor of it, as long as you all appreciate the concept plan. Essentially, staff has no objection to what's being proposed, but obviously this is a legislative decision. So unlike the last one, where you had to approve it as long as it met code, this is policy-based. It's up to you and the council to use your legislative discretion to decide what is best for Highland City. So the request is the applicant, WPI or Town Center Holdings, I believe, is seeking to develop the last lot, Lot 3, within the Town Center Commercial District, so the lot south of Wendy's, where there's nothing right now. There's a food truck there for most of the summer. And the potential tenant, Mobetta's, is asking for a pickup window. They're actually very specific. They want a pickup window, not a drive-through, one where you can order ahead, call in, or use an app, and then drive through and pick it up. There's no order screen involved in it. The town center zoning, however, imposes, unlike every other zone we have has a maximum setback where you cannot be further away from the right-of-way than a certain distance. And this, it's a 15-foot for the building and a 10-foot maximum setback for the entrance. Those setbacks kind of prohibit their pickup window concept. And so the applicant is seeing a code amendment to change that 15 and 10-foot maximum setback to a 25-foot maximum setback. So just to kind of orient you to what we're talking about here, here is lot 3 on the screen. And the setback we're talking about is this setback from Town Center Boulevard on the east side there. And on this screen, you'll see their concept site plan. So actually, I can kind of draw on here. Forget I can do that. So through here, oh, you know, it's on erase. So this is the pickup window concept coming in through there. You also see they are clearing out. Right now, there's kind of the hard barrier there for Wendy's. They're going to be removing that. They've talked with Wendy's about this and they've agreed on this concept plan. So Wendy's is in favor of it. The tenants in favor of it. They'll remove that median, extend it out, and increase parking, change that 45-degree parking in front of Wendy's up here into 90-degree parking, which will make it more accessible, and open up the access through there. But as you can see on that east side, the setbacks just don't work with that maximum setback. It's about a 22.5-foot setback, so they're proposing 25. They might be able to squeeze in the pickup lane without changing it, but it would remove a landscape buffer and honestly make it a worse overall kind of access through there. When I was reviewing this, this is the only kind of setback that I've seen in the city, and it only applies to the Town Center Commercial District, and even then, it only applies to this lot. There's an exception in the code for any lot that fronts on SR92, so the UPS store, the Cubby's building, Wendy's, they don't have to deal with this setback. It technically would have applied to the Myers building, but it never came up when it was approved. So it's not one that's ever really been enforced or applied anywhere. On the opposite side of Town Center Boulevard, the C1 zone, they don't have the same kind of setback. It's actually a 40 to 80 foot minimum setback. So it's pushing buildings away from the street. So when we were looking at staff, we don't see kind of a uniform on either side. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It hasn't been applied. So that's why staff doesn't have any objection to this. And so here's the proposed code amendment. You'll see the code is just to change the maximum setback to 15, or from 15 to 25 feet for the building, and then from 10 feet to 25 feet for the building front and front door. Do you want to highlight, you can see on here, this area right in here, kind of on, sorry, I can draw it. That is a raised pedestrian walkway. Their goal is to try to use that parking in Town Center Boulevard that no one really uses, to have people park there and then walk across into the Mobetta's restaurant. And the applicant's also here, and they can probably better explain their concept plan than I can. And right now, it is only a concept. They haven't applied for site plan approval, but they want to get this cleared up so they know what direction to take. And they also have submitted kind of concept elevations, what their buildings will look like, just to get feedback on any kind of tweaks if the Planning Commission Council are in favor of this change, if there's any other changes you'd like to see as they go ahead and start preparing final plans. And so, you know, the pickup window concept, they indicated they would be fine with having the site plan be approved if this would only be a pickup window, not necessarily that it couldn't be a drive-through in the future, but if it were to be converted to a drive-through, they'd have to go through a kind of an amended site plan process so we can make sure traffic and circulation was a little bit different of a concept in terms of traffic impacts when you're having a pickup versus drive-through, whether you had any concerns with parking or the building look and materials. So again, here's the concept site plan. Increased parking kind of through that area there, and then the pickup window. And here's the proposed building look. Again, high-level concepts, no material types or anything. So the comments on what the building looks like is just kind of thoughts, nothing binding. They're not asking for any kind of approval on that. What they are asking for, though, is a recommendation on that setback change to 25 feet. So our recommendation is that you hold a public hearing as legislative, consider the amendments, And since we don't oppose it, you can recommend approval, but you also could recommend denial if you felt this wasn't in harmony with city goals and policies. I also invite you to hear from the applicant to let them present their concepts and explain their ideas and hold the public hearing.
Okay, thank you, Rob. We're going to open that public hearing and invite the applicant to come and field any questions and fill us in with anything you'd like us to know. If you would state your name and address, please. We'd like to hear from you now.
Thomas Lenart, 5557 West, 11,000 North. So just office down the street here. Thank you for that description. I don't have much to add to that. We're just excited to get this last lot developed and appreciate the assistance from city staff as we navigate this. But I'm open to any questions that you might have. It is our intention just to have a pickup window that kind of maximizes the efficiency of that site. And through the concepts that we kind of look internally, this is, in our opinion, the best and most efficient way to run that. So I don't know if you have questions now or later, but.
Actually, could you stay so that we could ask questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. Could we get the site plan back up there, Rob? Right there. Okay, so Rob had drawn a green line showing the entrance going down on the south side, the south end. I frequent that area quite often, and I know when you turn in there, that looks like that's going to be a pretty sharp turnaround to have to go in and out the other way. Did you guys think about possibly having the ingress come at the top, like where the Wendy's is, and going and then having it exit the other way?
Originally, we did have a concept that way. The Wendy's, as we discussed with them, did not like it. They wouldn't approve that option because they felt like, how we had to have it is the drive-through would come and stay on the west side of the building. And so their concern was that even though it was a pickup window, that cars would stack and back up into their drive-through lane, which is the north lane of theirs. And so this was the alternate option that we had. It keeps the stacking, even though there won't be any stacking, that perception down to a minimum, and it keeps it away from Wendy's to allow them to operate efficiently. And again, with this one, it is an online app ordering system, so they'd come to the site, park in the parking stall, get a text that their food's ready, and then go through. So more than not, you probably wouldn't have anybody doing a U-turn basically into that from the south. But there are other options based on the design of the site to allow for better circulation and better access.
Yeah, it seems tricky. That seems like a tricky, having to turn, come in, and then flip all the way around to get into that.
Yeah, and we can look for further into that. Again, with the options that we've looked at as far as the drive-through, how that pickup through worked, this does seem to be the best option for that.
Can you explain to me also the little crosswalk you have with the raised road there on the east side? It looks like it crosses, and then it looks like the building is right there. So does it just cross to a sidewalk? Is that, and then
yes, yep. Okay. So the building, I believe that's probably 6 or 7 feet of width of a sidewalk to allow for pedestrian circulation. But yes, right in front, so that building in essence would have two main doors into the.
My only concern with that is that it's on a blind. It looks like a blind corner there. So if somebody's trying to cross there and somebody's coming around, what do you think about that?
Yeah. So, yeah.
You can draw on your screen. Can you draw what you're talking about?
So that
you can touch it.
The entrance there, and then I think the concern is you have this turn, a kind of, you do have the site kind of line there from the corner. We don't have final dimensions of how far it's going to be. You know, this is a rough estimate. So, I mean, obviously, we'd want to push it a little bit further north as we can based on how the final building comes out. I'm not too worried about it because, it, like I said, it's actually raised. So it's going to be like, if you've driven near, the high school near Highland Glen, you have to drive over those things. It kind of looks like a big speed bump. And it's a pickup window, so it's a narrow lane, so people aren't going to be cruising super fast through there. We actually have, there's several of these that cross driveways through the areas, and we haven't really had any issues handling that in other places. But I think with final design, that'll be definitely something we take into consideration.
I would just like to ask, you know, we're having to change code for this, which is not a problem, but there are the restaurants like Pizza Hut and Chili's and everything where they just have a reserved stalls for pickup. And it sounds like you were going to do that with this one, and then they're going to drive through where if they just stayed in their park stalls and when they're called, you can get it. Why do we have to do all this?
Well, yeah. So a lot of businesses now, especially with COVID, past or, you know, with all that, the pickup order stalls are definitely something you see in parking lots. The drive-through aspect of a pickup window was a specific request by the tenant. And so I don't anticipate them having dedicated stalls for pickup outside of just people parking wherever they can find a stall.
Okay. My understanding is you'd have them park, and then when they're called, they'd come and...
Yes.
Well, their drive-through, so I thought they had like certain parking or something.
Yeah, okay. That is the idea. It's just there won't, at this point, there isn't dedicated stalls for that purpose. Okay.
I have a couple questions. Based on the discussion during city council meeting last week and looking over this material, I don't see much of a problem with any of this. Where along that east side, that east corridor, will the pickup window be, and will it possibly accommodate walk-up pickups?
The pickup window is actually on the north side.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
And then, because I don't see, it's almost like the sidewalk kind of ends. Is it strictly a drive-through pickup window?
Yes.
There's no option to walk up and pick up?
So, I mean, if they had an interior pickup where people can come in, be kind of like what you see in a Costa Vita where they have kind of racks ready for pickup orders and a separate, I would assume, something similar to that. But we don't have their interior designs yet, so I'm not 100% sure on that.
I had a lot of questions on, like, traffic flow and stuff, but it was really, really heavily... addressed during the city council meeting on Tuesday, and it seemed like in my mind it was, you know, most of the kinks were worked out and explained pretty well. One question I had, and it's really just a question, was there any consideration given to any kind of vehicular access on the east side there where the stalls are and where the sidewalk is? I mean, I know it's like kind of a really big wide sidewalk, and there might be restrictions and
coming off of Town Center Boulevard.
Yeah.
We did have a concept like that too. I wasn't in that meeting when Richard and Rob met on that, but
they had a concept where there was a kind of a cut, not cut through, but like an access through here somewhere that then wrapped around.
Right.
I'll be honest, I kind of shot that down. I didn't want to add another intersection into Town Center Boulevard. The traffic's already a little bit squampus around there to begin with. So same number of accesses. So I thought I'd keep that and also keep the parking stalls there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they did think of it. They did propose it.
I love those parking stalls.
And we were thinking also because of that median, raised median, you'd have to go out to Temp Highway and then wrap around to get your food. So, but yes, it was a consideration at one point.
One thing that threw me off a little bit during the city council meeting that was kind of this funny oversight by many of the council members too. We're talking about like reversing the flow of traffic, but It kind of can only go this one way because when you're picking up something, it has to be on the driver's side of the window. And they were talking about like routing the traffic the other way and having the window on the other side. And that just wouldn't work out. So in case you were like me and thinking of that and not thinking clearly, don't.
Oh, that's, thank you for bringing that up, Wes, because that's what I had just said.
Yeah, right.
But I have another idea. So I'm wondering if you're willing to think about this as potentially moving that island where the parking is that's to the west, moving it to connect so that you come down a little bit farther, swing around to get into the drive-thru so it's not such a sharp turn. I don't know if that, do you know what I'm talking, Rob, can I show you?
You can draw on your screen.
Oh, we can draw on the screen. Okay, nice. Okay, so have this island extend here, and then there'll be parking still there. And then have the cars come down here, and then just give a wider area to swing back so they can get into here. So it's not such a hairpin turn where I think they're going to be making three-point turns possibly if it gets too tight. People have big cars. I don't know, just a thought.
From planning perspective, it solves one issue of that kind of people turning in on that south side and trying to do a sharp U-turn in. It does create an issue where we have now people who from here will get stuck, or people leaving the pickup window, because right now they could go this way and head out or turn down, but if you block it off, they'd have to drive through parking stalls, or we'd have to eliminate parking stalls, and we don't want to remove parking stalls from that area. We're already having troubles finding parking enough as it is.
What if you closed this here so that they don't come down through there? Is that a problem?
You'd lose
the ability for people to turn in kind of through here. It's already tight through Wendy's. I mean, they kind of have a, right now, if you get into the Wendy's parking lot, you're stuck and you have to go through essentially their drive-through to get out. This actually allows people to kind of bail and pull out going south out of there. I mean, I think you're raising some great points, Sherry. You're absolutely right. This is not an ideal parking situation. It's just we have the property as it is, and we're trying to figure out the best way. So I definitely appreciate all the thoughts on this, how we can make this better.
Because people could actually exit. You're saying if they came through here and they can't turn left, they could come. Sorry, I'm erasing things. I think they could still come down here, the second one, and come out. Let's see, where's
that? Maybe that's something we'll look at.
My blue's not, it's not showing anymore, sorry.
There you go.
So, okay, so they could come turn down here and exit out instead of coming down here. Plus, if somebody's trying to get out here and someone's coming out this way, I don't know, that just seems like another issue. So
no,
anyway,
sure.
Just throwing it out there.
No.
Have we had a traffic survey done by an engineering firm for this preliminary?
We will with the site plan. We'll ask them to provide a traffic circulation study. We're just not at that level yet. We're kind of deciding whether the concept sure. works, and then they'll start putting plans together for okay. us.
By the way, we love Mobettas, and we're willing to work with you.
No pizza. No, we're stoked to have some options.
I really like this. I really like this concept. Obviously, yeah, there's some concern there. What always comes to mind is going to the UPS store and the drink store that's there and their drive-through. It's a nightmare. And they're going against traffic patterns. They're doing that. I'm just trying to figure out, do we know the, not necessarily the easiest, but the way that traffic flows and how that interacts here. So I hear what you're saying, Sherry, but if that's not going to be the normal way traffic flows anyways, I'm less concerned. But if that's the primary traffic, absolutely. There's no way you're gonna have problems there. So,
and one of the concerns we want to make sure is, because Wendy's can get backed up. So, oh, draw. Screen. There we go.
And I was just going to say.
So if Wendy's gets backed up here, it can start to cut off, because we have parking stalls on the north side of that. So we want people, say Wendy's is backed up all the way here. Someone trying to leave may not want to cross through the Wendy's area. So having the ability to turn south and out is kind of nice, giving them two options depending on how the traffic is looking. it's trying to free up options. It does mean there will be more driving around, but hopefully they'll be able to find ways through. But
hi, my name's Daniel Schmidt. I'm also with the developer WPI at the same address that Thomas had stated. I appreciate you letting me try to entertain you for a second. One of the considerations with Wendy's primarily was better flow overall. And so what that meant for them was more ways in and out. And so I'm sure you're well aware of Mrs. Kramer's talking about hairpin turns on the exit of Wendy's. And they have two lanes coming into their drive-thru, but they only have one really going through the drive-thru. And being caught in their lot currently, if you actually go inside or on the outside, the thing that meant the most to them was the ability to be able to ingress, egress multiple ways so they could serve their customers better. Primary objective there is to create, which is why we had sort of those vertical fishbone parking stalls, if you will, is what we call them, and multiple vertical north-south lanes that people can come in and out of. And so not that additional cutoffs between islands may be warranted at some point with the Fizz building, if you recall it, when that was entitled. And one of the ways we've helped to manage traffic there is provide additional signage, additional paint on the road for traffic circulation. And while some people still may cut those corners, and we put a big boulder on the hairpin turn to disincentivize people trying to take that, I think for the most part it does work, or is working at least, to help control traffic. And those are the kinds of things that could be employed when the exact site plan and tenant goes in.
So in that particular area, over by Myers,
yes,
there was, because for a long time none of the rest of the development hadn't been completed, but Myers was established,
yes,
and the drink place and the UPS. Mm-hmm. So those things were there across the way. It became really complicated with parking, and people needed signage to kind of indicate which parking belonged to which location.
Yes.
And we did, when they finished that development, we asked them to please put signage showing where parking for Myers was, where, so that the new places had access. This is a place where traditionally, in the summers, there's a snow cone stand, and it's pedestrian traffic for all the kids that live in that complex of Toscana, and it's kind of a hangout place. So there's a lot of foot traffic in there as people are wandering to those other places as well. Mm-hmm. So I would like to encourage that you guys do put up some kind of signage and not just expect everyone to understand where the parking is, because it's kind of it's been a hangout location, and people cut through there and park their trailers and trucks for Toscana that live there, and they use that as their parking lot. You drive around those all the time. So just for traffic's sake and flow, I think that's helped in that other side on the development. It's made it more clear because it is a tight spot.
Yes, and we certainly appreciate, recognize that it is tight. And you're right, we're working with some real restraints with Wendy's lot to the north and the driveway access to Town Center Boulevard on the south. And so we are trying to maximize all of it for parking and for the purposes of trade with the tenants. And we'll certainly, the tenants will help us define what they think will work best, as well as our experience as developers to address that when we have the specific site plan.
Does anyone else see a ton of, you know, campers and trucks and trailers and things like that parked in that area? Because they just use that as there's an empty lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And today it's while we have tried to stripe it in the meantime, and it is still viewed as somewhat of an empty lot, and the snow shacks and whatnot in the summertime do encourage that foot traffic. But we believe once a tenant and a building's there, that will quickly shape differently with parking and other things. I mean, kids in the summertime will be kids in the summertime with shopping centers. We see them walking in front of the office buildings there over to the Kohler's and whatnot. And so that's what we've tried to create the appropriate places for the pedestrians. But all of those things will be taken into consideration, absolutely.
So I just wanted to re-clarify the reason for the offset changes to accommodate this driveway. I know you probably said that before, so I just wanted to clarify that. So thanks. I took your nod as yes, so thank you.
Yes.
The other piece, you talked about a comments on the building structures. I think they look great. I think they fit the area, the design, but that's just me. So
appreciate that.
I have a quick question, Rob. Can you go back to that wider view? Yeah. So is this common right here? There's like a, I don't know if it's like a delivery semi or whatever that's parked right there. Because that's what this access, I mean, you can't see it, but like down below that goes over to Myers is for. Does that happen regularly? Do you, like, would that semi be there for Myers? Is that just a fluke thing? Do you know if that's a regular occurrence?
From the times I've walked over there, there's often some kind of delivery truck. Myers has a kind of dedicated delivery lane that they don't always use.
Yeah.
Probably because it requires a little more work for the truck drivers to kind of finagle the truck into it. Mm-hmm. Some of that, I think, would be resolved by the property owners kind of being a little more strict on, unfortunately, having to kind of get after trucks and say, no, use the actual loading dock. Don't use our parking stalls. Don't block our access in and out. I think when this gets more developed, rather than just kind of being just a bare asphalt lot, having the islands, having pretty clear parking areas and lanes, that will disincentive or disencourage people from doing that kind of parking, because most truckers know, like, you can't block a fire access lane.
Right. I mean, because even as it's drawn up right here, this, with this, let's see, let me go back. With this, you know, proposed landscape median right there, I mean, that completely, this truck completely blocks any kind of flow. So there would be, like, no room for that to ever happen, because the alternative is cars coming and, you know, going up through the parking stalls and, you know, so, right?
The Myers lot was designed originally when we sold the lot to the Myers, when they developed the store for the truck traffic into their loading dock. Mm-hmm. And so I think Rob Patterson's correct. It's just a little bit of ease of use, commonly called laziness, just to access things and go back and forth. And certainly those things will be enforced and for the betterment of all. It also helps Myers if that's not blocked as well. And so we don't believe there's any adverse reaction to trying to enforce that.
I honestly think that may be a resident of Tuscana that drives truck.
Like, just that, you know, big a couple semi. Of them,
and that's an open place to park.
Well, it's funny, looking at the current Google Maps satellite view, there's a red pickup with a really long, like, horse trailer looking thing parked there. It's, I mean, it would be highly unlikely that. Yeah.
We just regret that there's not an app where we can charge them overnight rent on the parking stall yet. I'm sure it's coming.
I did just have one quick question. Right here in this part on the map. Oh, I don't know what I did. I didn't mean to touch that. But right here, if this was made as a wider access, because everyone here has large vehicles, it seems, to be able to get in, is that an option?
Is that like when you're coming this
as
direction
coming this
and have to turn that way?
Yeah, you'd have, like, is there something wider to accommodate to get in?
Yeah, certainly those things will be studied specifically with the traffic engineers. And so, similar to Myers backing in of the truck, they'll actually use their route planning software and cars and to be able to figure out the radiuses and what's appropriate, what will work, won't work, what the limitations are. Right now, what we have before you is enough agreement between the parties, including staff, to say, hey, this is the concept that we have. But to even move forward, we do need that additional setback, and then we're able to. And then, like you're saying, with the Planning Commissioner Thane had mentioned, the elevations look generally fine, and we'll get down to the specifics and with the traffic and engineers and spend more money there.
I think it's interesting that the request and the change is to the maximum setback and not a minimum one. It's usually we would be dealing with wanting to, like, expand a little more closer to, you know. So I think this being a maximum setback adjustment and then, you know, being so limited to just town center overlay and stuff, like, it seems entirely reasonable and, yeah.
I do a, it's all in the same area, actually. When you come in this part right here, and is there enough room to go down? If you go into Myers and around, and then coming out, there's people coming this way. Is both of them going to be going that way? And is there enough room for that? Or will there be enough? Because right now it's like
yes.
total.
Yeah, regardless of what's drawn, and I'm sure what's drawn isn't far off from what's accurate, the traffic engineers, and from the original conception with Myers, have planned enough room for two-way traffic all the way through there. And plenty of room. Intentionally being a main drive from Town Center Boulevard to SR92 access.
I just wanted to highlight, I zoomed in a little bit when I put it on the PowerPoint. They had a little bit more showing how that access would work a little bit better in this concept. I just moved in so you could see the pickup window area. So you can see there's still the full access there, rounding around there.
I see another thing I just wanted to mention. It looks like there's a little patio sitting area right as you turn. It was showing it in that previous site plan picture, Rob, right there, yeah. I don't know if I would feel comfortable having people right there as people are swinging around trying to navigate that. I don't know if they can adjust that maybe somewhere else so it's just not right where the traffic's going to be swinging around there.
Yeah, we'll certainly take that into consideration with the patio. Most of the tenants these days, they want the drive-through or as previous discussions, the drive-through traditional models of sort of transition to those pickup stalls, and now they're sort of transitioning. This is the first concept I think we've done with a to-go type pickup window, but it's not the first tenant that's approached us with this idea. So there is going to be a little bit more of a shift and movement in the market that way. Patio seating is also something that people enjoy in good weather, and they always want to seem to accommodate that. The exact placement of which, like with the radius of that particular turn, will be yet to be decided and chosen appropriately.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for them? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your presentation.
It's still a public hearing, so I'm not sure.
Okay, so is there any other comment? All right, let's go ahead and close the public hearing. And commissioners, do you want to discuss or do you feel ready? I'm good.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's still like that whole area is such, to me, a chaotic mess.
I think this will help make sense of it.
Make sense of the area before we're adding newer restaurants and things and going through and around. And it's just a mess.
Well, and this is the last kind of addition to that area, right?
I think this will solve some of the mess.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it'll eventually kind of make it a more cohesive mess. Week.
And this is an existing lot,
yeah.
So it's been subdivided previously. So they're entitled to build on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just we're trying to figure out the best way to do it to solve the problem for as many people as we can and get a good tenant out of it.
Well, and still have
everyone will want.
Yeah, I mean, not too many of our restaurants have been able to get drive-throughs and drive-through pickups and all that. So it's kind of we're going pretty wild here to accommodate one drive pickup. That I don't feel necessarily is, needed or something, but I don't know. Hopefully it will improve it.
I feel like because it only affects this one lot and it's not changing policy for any other location, I don't have a problem with it because they've met everything that we needed.
Yeah.
I would like to add to the recommendation that if this ever changes into a drive-through, a real drive-through, that it come back to us. I would like that added. I know that it said in there that we could do that.
Yes. So it wouldn't be part of this, but we actually had talked about that when we do the site plan approval, which will also come to you, that we would put a stipulation saying this is a pickup window only, and that if they want to change it from that, say, Mobetta's decides to move out, new tenant comes in, they actually have to submit a new site plan, and we have to do some new traffic engineering to make sure that that's actually going to accommodate a real drive-through rather than a pickup window. So that'd be more for a future approval on a site plan rather than the code amendment we're talking about. But I think it's a very valid point.
Okay. I would like that added. And then I would also, with this plan being proposed, I would like traffic engineers, as you were suggesting, to go over this, just make sure everything is worked out that we talked about. So.
Yep. And we'll definitely do that part of site plan review.
So that's not something we need to add as an amendment because those things are already in.
Our code already requires a traffic impact study and circulation study when they do site plan. So they'll have to do that even to apply for it.
Okay.
All right. Well, if there's no more discussion, I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of the proposed amendments to the Town Center Commercial Retail District setbacks as put forward by the city.
Second.
Okay. Would you please vote?
Yes.
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 Aye.
Yes.
You're that kidding.
Thank you very much. Everyone wants Mobetas now. Okay. Lot combination, zoning standards, land use legislative. Rob, would you please present that to us?
I would love to. This is a proposal from me, actually, because we have been fighting with the county about this for 2 years. Kelly, the previous planner, fought with them, and they didn't listen to her, and I fought with them, they didn't listen to me, so I'm changing our code to make it work. So a couple of years ago, the state changed state law to say when you combine lots, you don't need to go through the whole plat amendment process. Plat amendments are expensive and lengthy. Just doing a legal survey of your property might cost $400, $500, $600. A plat amendment will cost $4,000 or $5,000 to prepare. It's a much more involved and expensive process. So when you're just combining properties that you already own, the state says, well, you can just do that just by a legal description. The Planning Commission and Council recommend changing our code to allow that to be approved by staff, and we have approved several. The county doesn't recognize them. So, for example, I have the city sold some open space. That property in the back, there's a record of notice showing that those have been approved by the city to be combined, and you will see there's still a property line in that property. Same over here. They combine their properties into one. I've recorded an approval. The county still shows it as separate. It's been months. And In the packet, I sent you my email to the county recorder, and you saw her response was, thanks, but no. So because the county won't allow us to combine these without a plat amendment, my recommendation is we change the code so that the city, for zoning purposes, can consider them as combined properties. We could also tell the resident, if you really want to remove your property line and combine them for tax notices and all of that, you can go through that plat amendment process. I'll walk them through it. But if all you want to do is get a bigger setback or have a larger, you know, detached structure, we can do this approval process and that will be fine. So what I proposed is this new code that says property for which a notice of approval has been approved and recorded, so those are these notices that I review and I approve, can be treated as a single combined property for all purposes under this code. So that'll be including setbacks. So we don't measure to the next property line, we measure to the furthest out of the combined property. Area restrictions, where we limit detached structures to 5% of a lot, will count that as the combined lot rather than just the smaller one. And then just some caveats in the code where we're not affecting any public utility easements. They can vacate those as a process for that if they want. The combination just puts the properties together. If they want to vacate an easement, they've got to go through a separate process for that. Also, if there is a restriction on one portion of the property, sometimes a subdivision will have a plat note saying lot something something can't do something or is restricted with a conservation easement. When you combine a new property to that, that becomes subject to that same restriction. You don't get to combine properties and get out of a restriction unless I approve otherwise because it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't change anything with building or fire codes. There are some things with building and fire codes that care about lot lines, not many, but there are some things that may still be an issue there. We can't change building code, so it's just giving people the heads up. Combining the properties won't affect your building codes. But for most people, all they want is to add on the 10 feet of property they bought from the city so they can move their garage a little bit closer back. And that's easy enough to do. Happy to answer any questions on this.
Can I ask, has this, with the county not acknowledging this, has this been a problem with selling your property as any, and a new owner buying and even having acknowledgement of that on their plot?
Yes. I mean, when they buy the new property, it kind of creates some headaches for the property owner because now they'll get two tax notices. And if you have a mortgage, your taxes are handled through the mortgage. So some of them don't realize they're getting a separate tax bill from the county for their parcel, which can then be sold at tax notice. So don't pay the $100 or whatever for the small property. So we're trying to encourage people, you can combine them this way, and you can also work with the county to put all your properties into one tax notice. When they go to sell them, theoretically, they could sell off the lot and the parcel separately. It's kind of a concern, but in some regards, anyone could write a deed with a meets and bounds description and record that at the county. The county will accept anything for recorded as long as you have a description and you've notarized it. So someone could go split a property in half right now, but when they come for a building permit, we'll say, well, that wasn't an allowed subdivision, so go fix that. So it could create problems, but it's only going to create problems for someone who tries to do something odd with their property. For us in the city-wise, if they're asking for a building permit, we'll check. You know, I've had the building official come to me saying, hey, they're doing this, but I'm showing the lot line here, and I could say, actually, I've approved a notice of approval for that. We have it on record at the county. We're fine to, you know, look at the bigger property, and then we can just handle it that way. When I've seen these sold, they'll just record it as, because you have to do a new legal description of your property that shows the entire property as one thing. Most legal descriptions of a property in a subdivision will say lot 13 of the whatever subdivision. When you combine the property, it now says property described as, and it's a lengthy description that calls out all the corners and how wide you go. And that's what they record for selling the property. They're now selling that property as described.
So new owners won't get floored?
They won't.
Okay.
It's also recorded, so they'll know that there's been a combination approved by the city.
Okay.
Robert?
Yes.
Have you heard back from Nicole Larson from the county?
No.
And whether or not this will effectively solve the problem that you're...
The county just won't recognize what we do
right.
as combining the properties.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they don't control our zoning codes either. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to disregard the fact they won't combine the properties and we'll just treat it as combined. We can do that.
So you don't, because I know that in your correspondence and even in the your background of, and summary of request, it says... staff believes that the proposed amendments will allow those Highland residents to own adjacent properties, blah, 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 blah. So is that belief founded? Like, this will do what you wanted to do.
Yes. Mostly I was writing, we believe it as, this is why we're putting it forward. This is why I think it's a good idea.
Okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. And then my other question, once, you know, lots are combined, if they want to be subdivided later on. I'm always trying to think ahead for, like, you know, redevelopment of Highland, you know, 50 years down the line or whatever. How would subdividing like this work? Would it have to follow the previous?
Not the previous description. They'd have to do a full subdivision,
though. Yeah, it would have to follow current
yep.
Code and zoning laws. Okay.
I've actually had a couple people ask me that because I've had a couple of people buy two lots in a subdivision and combine them, and I've had to walk them through, like, hey, we'll approve the combination, but just so you know, if you decide, oh, I want to sell this later, you can't just sell the lots separately again. You have to actually re-subdivide the property. That's going to be an annoying and costly process, and the code might change in the meantime to not allow what you want.
Right.
So the property owner takes on some risk of combining that separating again may not be allowed. For most of them, it's not going to be an issue because they're not adding a lot of property on, so it's not going to really affect much. But for this property, it could. And we wouldn't allow it to be subdivided again because they have no access unless we decide to allow flag lots in the future.
It seems like you are working really hard to clean up a lot of the code and to make life easier for yourself and other city staff. Can we build into this any kind of guarantee that you will remain with the city for X amount of years, like 20 amount. I mean, if I can get as much as 30, I would.
That's not a code that you can implement, unfortunately.
All right.
Well, I think this is really nice. I've had experience with this for the last 20 years, and I have multiple slivers of property in Lehigh and in Highland that I can't do anything with. And so I really like the option that I can now move my shop that I'm going to be building back another 20 feet with this. And I recognize it does nothing to the county. The county doesn't care what we do, and there's no connection there. So this, I think this is great. This will help a lot of people. And as you recommend, or as you said, it locks them into something. And if they want to get out of it, they have to go through the full costly process. but yet you're saving them money because I spent $3,000, and again, this was 20 years ago, to try to get them together, and the county still wouldn't accept it. And so I just wasted. So now I pay $5.76 for the last 20 years for that one square foot so that I don't go up for a sale and the neighbors lose right away or whatever. So it's a ridiculous thing that the county has there, and it truly is cheaper to just pay your taxes than it is to try to fix it. So I think this is great.
I'm just wondering why the county is not following the state code. That's concerning to me. I'm wondering if we've talked to the state about this issue, and I'm also wondering if anybody has talked to the supervisor, that the person that replied to you, was it Nicole, did you say? She says, my supervisor says no. Has anyone gone past her and said, can we talk to your supervisor?
Yes. So Kelly, the previous planner, I think talked to everyone in the recorder's office about this. And I worked with her on drafting some emails, so they had a very kind of legal bent to them, and it was, the answer came back no. And so this was me trying to reach out and say, we've still been doing this. Have you changed your position in the last year? And the answer was still no. I don't know a way of, we have an interesting relationship with the recorder's office, very cordial. We work with them a lot on subdivisions, getting to make sure things get recorded. But as one of our staff who brings things down to get recorded, sometimes it feels like every other time we go, there's a new little requirement. We got something rejected because we didn't have enough space at the top because they have to put their stamp on it. So we had to move everything down a little bit. So they just kind of operate their own way, and they don't have to listen to us.
Well, this begs the question, if they aren't required to follow state code, then is the city required to follow some of those other things that they've asked us to do that are sort of ridiculous?
Yeah. I mean, it could be something that if we really press it, we could have some kind of challenge over. It's just, it's almost not worth the city's time to do it. I'm just trying to find a solution that helps the residents as easily as I can.
We could fight it and spend.
Well, you work for us.
Exactly.
A lot of money to fight it or just bypass them. This is a good bypass.
So this also is a public hearing, as it is a legislative item.
All right. For a public hearing, and if you have comment, please state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
Hey, Elizabeth Rice, and I understand that, you know, that we're trying to make it a little bit easier for the city, but in my last year of dealing with the county, you're right, the county does not care what the city does. When you call the state refers to the county. They don't care what the city does anyway. My concern with this, and I know you'll vote against me, and that's okay, but my concern with this is when you go to get clear title, when you sell your property, you better make sure that they're checking city records, not county records, for a clear title on property. And I understand your position. I have a couple of neighbors who want to, you know, get those little smidgens of property back in, and I don't have problems with that. I have problems if I go to buy a property and I can't get a clear title on it. And I am not a land use attorney. I'm not an attorney. But I just really think you need to think this one through, because they will go to county records. They will not go to city records for a clear title. Thanks.
Thank you, Mrs. Rice. Appreciate it.
Well, that is a good point. And I just want to highlight what this looks like. So this is a property, another example, where I've approved a combination. So when they go to sell it, I mean, they show a lot and a little open space parcel next to it. They want to build an athletic court on that little parcel off to the side, which is going to be kind of odd because it's not a buildable lot, but they want to combine it. So they go to sell it. So I'll show you. Come on, pull it up. Why are we not?
We really appreciate you joining us and sharing your opinion, so thank you.
I'm sure you get sick of hearing from me.
Absolutely.
I'm not apologizing for it, but I represent, people call me all the time, and I say, you realize I lost the election, right? There are people that you talk to, and so, but I'm still here. Can I talk while you're doing that? Rob, do you mind, or if I jump in here? So I just kind of want to give you this example.
Just a second, Rob.
Is that okay, or do you want?
Here, let me just.
I'll be quiet.
Wrap this up. So,
yeah,
county records, you can go to parcel
explain.
Map. This is the property. So, under documents, you'll. Oh. There we go. See that notice there? Oh, come on, don't block the pop-up. I want it. This is what gets recorded. So you'll see it'll show both the existing lot and the little parcel and the new description, which is a very lengthy legal description because now it's describing a lot of little corners and angles in it. But this is what we actually record.
With the county.
So the property owners sign, and then I also sign as the zoning manager, showing that the city has approved this combination. So if someone builds and it crosses a property line or something, obviously it's going to raise a flag during the title process. They're going to say, hey, you're crossing two different properties. This will also show up in the title search saying, yes, the city approved it to be combined. And so that's what we're trying to do to protect the property owners so they do have the record.
Okay.
And future owners can see been done. No, it's a great, great question to ask, though.
I have a neighbor. They've since moved. They got into, it doesn't matter why, but they had an acre property, and it backs off to Eagle View Drive. If you want to come over sometime, I'll show you what they tried to do. It was an acre property. They tried to divide it into 2 1/2 properties. This was 5 years ago. And I said no to it. And then they got into it, and they had to buy a $25,000 access to Eagle View Road or Eagle View Street. And so that was, and they could have sold the lot at that time for, I think, $600,000. Now they're going for $749 for a half acre. But they ended up not being able to do it, not because of what the city did, but you're right, the county wouldn't allow it. But the city said, no, you're going to have a different sewer line. And, you know, I mean, it was a separate lot. I understand what you're saying, but I get really nervous when you see a lot of these things come in on title reviews that go, oh, and there's this little piece of property and there's this little piece of property. The county wanted her to do the entire plat.
Yep.
All of us, which means that my taxes would, you know, because when the county gets into it, they're going to start looking at everybody's property taxes.
Yes.
So when you start doing that and you file it, just understand that the county will probably resubmit a higher price on your county assessment or taxes. So anyway, that's.
And I will always recommend to a resident, if they want a nice clean title, the best way to do it is to do a plat amendment, and I'll walk them through the process. It's expensive and it takes time. So that's the best way to clean up your titles. Then you have a little subdivision plat that shows exactly your new lot. But for those who don't have an extra $5,000 to spend on a plat amendment, this is a much cheaper process.
And I don't have a problem if the city really files that with the county.
We do, every time.
Well, and if the prospective buyer is on top of it, they'll say, hey, I don't like this, it's too messy, you need to do the plat. They probably won't know to do that.
That can always be worked into a purchase agreement.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. The public hearing has been closed, and the commissioners are open to ask any questions you have and for discussion. Okay. It looks like there is no discussion. Rob, did you want to share anything else? Okay. All right.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't. No. Is there anyone who would like to propose?
Sorry.
You want to make a motion?
I'm going to move. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of the proposed amendments to Chapter 5, Article 7 of the Highland Developmental Code.
All right. Let's vote. Oh, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Let's do a vote.
Yes.
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 All right, thank you.
Just a couple of cleanup things at the end here, and something that you might be very interested in. So first, we have our new meeting schedule for next year, just highlighting it again, fourth Tuesday of every month. The one that might be weird is there's one on November 25th, which is the Tuesday right before Thanksgiving. That'll be scheduled. I anticipate that won't be a meeting because people are going to be gone, and we don't want to hold a meeting right before Thanksgiving, but. I can email this out to
Please.
You as well.
I'll try to get my email working. That's why I took a picture.
The other item, our next meeting on January 28th, we are hoping to maybe do a general plan workshop with the council. We've been at some open houses. We've gotten a lot of feedback. We think you've participated in a lot of those. They're kind of getting ready to present portions of the plan for review, so they want to brief Planning Commission and Council where we're at, get feedback as they kind of go into finalizing a draft. So our plan is to hold a combined work session here and just have a start diving into what's been drafted in the general plan based on the public feedback on our next meeting. And then the kind of exciting thing, and Jay's going to take this one, is we got some resident survey results back, and we had some land use stuff in there that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, we wanted to bring the land use items up for you to look at. Now, this whole survey is available on the city's website. We do this every year. We didn't do it last year because of the alcohol survey for Highland Mains. But this year we have resumed. So you'll see when you look at the results that it skips from 2022 to 2024. Over on this side. Okay, so I'm just going to skip. You can look at this stuff on your own. I will really just focus on the land use related items. The first of which is a question about the future use of the Longhorn property. You guys, I assume, know what the Longhorn property is. I don't know how many of you participated in the survey. We mailed two copies to each residence in the city, as well as tried to make it accessible as possible online through scanning QR codes and clicking on links and everything. So maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
Behind this?
I'm sorry?
Do you have the demographics? The age?
There is a demographic section, yes. Okay. So this question is about what types of land use would you find acceptable for the Longhorn property? People could choose more than one. And so we had commercial, retail, and office space at 38%. Senior age-restricted housing on smaller lots was 25%. Multifamily housing was 8%. Smaller lot single-family residential, 33%. And then keep one-acre lots, 69%. So make that of that what you will. At our last open house for the general plan, two of the Patterson family were there at that meeting where we went around the different tables. They were there, and so it was really interesting to hear them talk about their thoughts on as the landowners of this property. Of course, what they have to say, what they think about the future of the property, obviously is a very influential aspect of the future of the property.
What was their feedback?
They you know, the commercial, like the viability of commercial there is subject to the presence of an anchor store. But having access off that road to a large store would be problematic. The desire to have a large store like that would be problematic. That's not really what we understand a lot of people in Highland want. We don't want a large store like that. That's not what we're proposing. That only is coming up because that is what would make a shopping center there viable. And so in absence of that, and the Pattersons are not commercial developers. They're not mixed-use developers where you might have shopping on the bottom and residential on top. That's not their thing. And so they were like, you know, it could work, but that's not our forte. So we don't know really how. That's not anything they've gotten into. They did.
Is there any comment about assisted living?
No.
Senior, anything?
Okay. No. They you know, if there was any retail, it would be something more boutique, specialty type shops. You know, maybe professional office space. And so, you know, that's just the nature of the discussion that has gone on there regarding the Longhorn property. So, on to the next item. This one was discussing the future of air land along SR 92, the main corridor we have here running east to west in Highland. A lot of it is owned by UDOT, or UDOT is buying up property as it becomes available. It is one of the few commercial corridors we have. And so this was, what would you like to see? Is it, do you want the commercial area to stay as it is? Would you like to see it expand? Would you like it to allow, you know, anywhere along SR-92 to become commercial? And we had 32% that said they'd be interested in seeing any lot along SR-92 turn from residential to commercial. Only lots near existing, so, you know, the town center area here, you know, allow that to expand. That's 40%, and then all lots should stay residential, had the lease support at 28%. So another interesting thing to think about as we look at future zoning, especially in regard to the general plan. Next item, if a proposed development was age-restricted for senior housing, should the city deviate from traditional single-family residential with large lots, 1 acre, to allow for any of the following types of housing? So basically, that, as you know, the city's default zoning is R140, which is these, you know, 1 acre lots. If we had senior age restricted housing, would you be favorable to having smaller lots? I don't know of a single person who later in their life is like, I really want to buy that big lot and be consigned to doing yard work for the rest. I mean, maybe they can hire people to do it for them, but I know people like my mother that she wanted a small lot and even still then pay people to do it. So so age-restricted senior housing, we had 50% say no, the city should not deviate from its traditional single-family zoning with large lots. 19% said yes, allow multifamily housing such as townhomes and twin homes. And 44% was in favor of smaller lots, but not to the density of townhomes and twin homes. So, so once again, this was one that could be over 100%, 40%, 19%, and 50%, or more than 100, because you can choose more than one option. We do know a little bit of math around here. just a couple more. This one was interesting. This had to do with ADUs. Just talking about people's appetite for allowing detached accessory dwelling units. And maybe hard to see on the screen up there at least, but the definitely yes is the dark blue. The lighter blue is, this is one that I fixed, but this one didn't get. Yeah, no, it's fine. The darker colors, darker blue and darker red in this particular one are yes votes. And then the lighter blue and lighter red are definitely not. So you can see yes makes up 58% of the pie and the remainder. So people are in favor of having detached accessory dwelling units. And then flag lots. This one, should the city allow large lot owners to create one additional lot in the back portion of their property? So we had people, once again, that was 55% yes. And the colors are correct in this one, thank goodness. And the no votes are in the minority on this one. But as we talked about, I know it went before the city council. We had someone within the last year ask about the possibility of doing a flag lot. And there are some issues regarding, you know, related to flag lots, that proposal was rejected. But it looks like there is, if we could find a way to do that appropriately, there would be support for that. So, there are other items in this survey that may be of interest to you. A lot of it is, you know, the first part is about how are we at the city as far as staff and in the city council, how are we doing? How are the city services? How do people view those? How are we doing on roads, our parks, utility billing, and things like that? I am happy to say that we've either stayed the same or improved on almost all of those categories. I think we had a 1% decrease in something I don't even remember. And then the last part is, you can see here is the demographics you were asking about. So male and female, how many people have minor children at home? The age breakdown here is interesting. You can kind of see that the majority of the respondents were between the ages of 40 and 74. So, geographic location, and you can see in the, we have the actual survey itself, what we count as the Southwest portion, which had the most. It's just really a matter of population density. We have, for Highland, smaller lots in the Southwest, so it's just a denser area versus the Northwest, and then Northeast and Southeast for sure. So you got a big gravel pit up in the Northeast and stuff like that taking up some of the land area.
So this is percentage of all of the respondents, not percentage of that area.
Of the people who responded, we asked them to identify what area of the city they lived in.
Okay.
And this tracks the last, like 3 years worth of results. We haven't had like a huge swing in the number of people in a geographic area.
Is it possible to get like weighted numbers?
Absolutely not. No. I'll not give that to
you. All right. I feel dumb for asking. Sorry, Jay.
I'm joking. If you have any questions, I will try to get you any of that data that we have, any numbers we have.
I don't think I'm interested anymore, Jay.
Okay. Then I did my job.
Jay, you've always been so serious, so I'm happy to see you joking.
So anyway, yeah, any questions you have about this, we'd be happy to answer if we have the data. Just go ahead and email me. And then I did want to mention, I sent out an email today to the Planning Commission. You'd only get it if you are successfully able to access your email, which I know is a problem, being able to yes or no. If you are having problems, please reach out to Rock Mountain Tech, who is our IT specialist, and they will be able to help you get logged into your email. I know for some people, our switchover, as was required by the state of Utah, as Rob was talking about earlier, caused some hiccups with people's ability to access. And despite our best attempts to send out instructions, here's how you do it, some people, it's not working. I know even it'll work if you're here at city on the city's Wi-Fi, but if you're at home on your own device or whatever you may have, it can cause problems. So we want to make sure that you can that you're receiving your communications, that you can access, your packet materials so that you can be prepared for the meetings and all of that. We're not sending out calendar invites, or at least we haven't, but I think Rob and I will send calendar invites out for the entire year for the meetings that he just had up on the board, so that they're there, we've sent them, and if they change, we will change them, and that can be updated on your Outlook as well. We want to make sure we're communicating with you all really well. So
just
please,
a question about the email. Is it something that you need to re-log into on a regular basis? Like, because after you sent out that email about switching to Gov, that I followed those instructions and I had it, and then I had nothing.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Okay.
I know if you don't log in regularly, it will kick you out and you'll have to put in your password and everything again, which I hate with a passion. So I make
sure. Well, it tells me I don't have permission to put in a password. That's what it tells me.
Oh, dang.
So
I know, especially for you, we did ask that you have extra strict lockdown.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I have a quick question about that too. Sorry, while we're here. This no before thing that we're.
Yes.
Are we supposed to like do what they say? This is on the emails, the no before.
Yeah. You should have known this before, but we did. No, I'm kidding. No before pun.
Now he's being
the city, through the state of Utah cybersecurity department, we have a program called no before.
Right.
That helps with cybersecurity training.
Right.
And so if you receive emails from them, those are legit. It is a training you can do to make sure that as far as when you're using our system, our network, getting emails, that you're protected, but it also is just good practice for knowing how to avoid phishing attempts and things like that. On the ribbon at the top of Outlook, there should be a button. If you suspect that an email is spam or phishing, you can hit report phishing, and it will send an email to Rock Mountain to alert them that this is a suspicious email.
No, I recognize the no before, the site, but I was wondering if we were supposed to do what they say or if that was optional.
You know, it's optional.
Okay,
that's what I was wondering. We want staff to do it for sure, yeah. But you as, you know, volunteers, it's up to you. So I think Wesley definitely should do it, but the rest of you, it's optional.
But good job on avoiding phishing by checking the source of that email.
Yeah. So.
All right. We have the next meetings. I was just going to clarify one thing. That combined meeting in January that you were talking about, what's the date on that one?
28th. So Tuesday.
So it will be Tuesday. On our meeting.
So instead of, we're not going to have anything else on the agenda because I think just talking through the general plan will be a lengthy enough discussion. We're going to just focus on that for that.
Okay, perfect. All right. It looks like we have the January 7th, January 21st as City Council, January 28th is our combined at 7 o'clock. And is there anyone who would like to make a motion to close our meeting?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
And it's been seconded by Deborah. All right, can we vote on that, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay, thank you. Meeting adjourned.